This time of year, you're going to find me jigging for crappies off my father-in-law's boat, celebrating a successful turkey hunt, or just sitting on the back deck watching time go by with a quality cigar from Thompson Cigar. Thompson Cigar has been around since 1915, offering the widest array of cigars and cigar accessories at very affordable prices. Thompson Cigar offers your favorite brands like Swisher Sweets, Cohiba, Backwoods, and Monte Cristo shipped fresh directly to your door. Also, be sure to check out their 5-pack fever deals and join their value club for big savings. Visit thompsoncigar.com and enter the discount code SE at checkout for 20% off of all orders over $75. Thompson Cigar, quality cigars at affordable prices. You're listening to the Sportsman's Empire Podcast Network, and this episode is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. For all of your battery needs, visit your local Interstate Batteries retail store. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable. This episode of the Sportsman's Empire is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. Since 1952, Interstate Batteries has been evoking compassion and a trustworthy spirit into the surrounding communities. Interstate Batteries is a mission-driven company fueled by purpose and guided by their values. If you need help locating a specific battery, stop into your local Interstate Batteries retail store and speak with a battery specialist. They even offer cell phone repairs. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable.
We're leaving today and entering a world of Mickey Mouse waving, princess meeting and greeting, lightsaber clashing, the Twilight Zone Tower of Terror dropping, banshee flying, space mountain launching, galaxy rewinding, what is the whole network galaxy rewinding, fireworks igniting, world of other worlds. For whatever you love, infinite worlds await at the most magical place on Earth, Walt Disney World Resort.
From athletic stuff like a full court pickup game, swish, to athletic-ish stuff like a half mile stroll. Get those steps in. Head to Sierra or Sierra.com for the brands you want at the prices that let you do it all. From athletic to athletic-ish, Sierra's got it.
Two Good & Co. coffee creamers are made with farm fresh cream, real milk, and contain 3 grams of sugar per serving. That's 40% less than the 5 grams per serving in leading traditional coffee creamers for a rich, delicious experience. Whether you enjoy your coffee hot, cold, bold, or frothy, Two Good coffee creamers make every sip a good one. Two Good coffee creamers, real goodness in every sip. Find them at your local Kroger in the creamer aisle.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, his name is Kyle. My name is Dan, and this is the Man Therapy Podcast. Do you watch any NFL, Kyle?
I do watch the NFL. Why do you ask?
Do you have any fantasy football teams?
I do, embarrassingly. Every year, okay. I think my team's going to be good, and it's always dog shit, and it's so freaking frustrating.
Okay. How many years of fantasy football have you done?
I don't know, maybe 6 or 7.
Okay. All right, cool. So you're in, you kind of know what's going on. You kind of know about maybe some do's and some don'ts in fantasy football, maybe some of those unwritten rules as well. Because I violated an unwritten rule in fantasy football that I did not know I was not supposed to do.
What'd you do?
So my team did not make the playoffs last year. My first year ever doing fantasy football, I won the whole thing. Okay.
Excellent.
This year, it went down to this last weekend's game, and me and another person were in it. Whoever won was going to be in the playoffs. And I didn't make the playoffs. Okay. Mm. So, but I'm in some sort of, constellation bracket.
Mm-hmm.
And so I ended up saying, kind of like, I'm really going to shake things up now. I'm going to drop my entire team and I'm going to get a new team, like Whoa. With my favorite players. So I'm dropping guys like Derrick Henry, Lamar Jackson, Bucky Irving, who's now back. And like, these are all like high scoring guys.
Yeah.
And I dropped them all back in. Well, I got an email from the lady who runs it for our it's a for fun thing, but we kind of take it serious.
Yeah.
And she's like, what are you doing? like you shouldn't do this. It's going to like, because I guess if I dropped all of them, there's an order into which they can be picked up by people. Yeah. And it is from least to best type of scenario. You know what I mean? And so the people who have the worst teams are going to all of a sudden get better starting at the playoffs.
Yeah.
And I, from my understanding, I guess that's a huge no-no. And so I was like, dude, I'm so sorry. I did not know that I couldn't do that. And so my brother, who is he knows all this stuff. He's been doing it for a very long time. I called him up. I said, dude, why is this person mad at me? Like, I don't understand.
Mad at me?
And he's like, he started laughing.
Oh yeah.
He's like, dude, in the league that I play in with my buddies, it's cutthroat. Like, if you want to make a trade, there's always people bitching about how it's going to make other teams better. That's a huge no-no. And he just laughed. He's like, I'm laughing at it, but I'm glad you didn't do it, 'cause I would have been pissed at you if you did it on our deal. And I was like, oh my God. So I sent a message to the lady who was running it. And I'm like, I am so sorry. Like, I did not know I wasn't supposed to do this. I was trying to be funny, Dan, and it completely backfired.
Yeah, right. Yep. You know, that just happens sometimes. Also, you're right that those are unwritten rules, because the truth of the matter is you can do that.
Yeah.
You know, and
if I wanted to, I could.
Yeah, that's right. And some teams do pick up good players before the playoffs. Like that, that does happen. So.
Yep.
That's funny.
So there's that, right? I mean, and I honestly felt bad about it, because I didn't want people to think I was trying to just like screw it. Like, I didn't like be a baby, right? I didn't make the playoffs, so I'm going to be a baby about it, the whole thing.
Right.
I was just like, I don't know. Just one of those things where even at 45, you learn something, right?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. No, I hear you. Well, it's funny, you know, it's funny that you were going to do that. I actually, my team ended up sucking. I have a lot of really good players, but they just didn't perform when I needed them to.
Consistently,
and so I didn't make the playoffs. And I, my little brother is in contention for first. And I was like, hey man, do you want any players from my team? Mm-hmm. And he's like, we can't do that. I was like, what? Come on. He's like, nope. He's like, if I win, I want it to be legitimate. I was like, legit, wow, you're a better person than I am.
Yeah, right. I'm over here trying to cheat to win, right?
Yep. I'll take that guy.
So here's the funny part is my wife is in the same league as us. And we, how do I put this? Like, she is in the playoffs now, and she didn't even try. She didn't switch. She didn't log in. She just started him. There were certain weeks where she had slots that the guys were on bye weeks or they were injured. She didn't check them and she lost them. But when they came back, she won them. And so now she's not, you know, now she's not doing it. Like, she's still not doing it, but she's in the playoffs. So crazy. Oh, like one of the highest averaging guys is Patrick Mahomes, and he has been on her bench for 6 weeks. So, like,
oh man,
whatever, dude.
Oh man, whatever. She got him just to bury him. That's hilarious. Yep. Love it.
Well, man therapy podcast. Anything else in your world we need to talk about before we get into kind of today's topic?
Boy, just the one thought that I have in that direction, just real quick, is the holiday season. We did Thanksgiving on both sides of my family, and that was awesome. And now we've got Christmas coming up, and we'll do it on both sides of my family. And every year, it just always reminds me how lucky I am that we have good family. Like I love my family. There's no drama. There's never drama. Everybody's cool. Everybody's nice. Everybody looks forward to seeing each other. My wife's side of the family, they're all the nicest people on the planet. And every year it's a reminder, like, holy shit, I have a lot of really good people in my life. And I don't take that for granted. I know that a lot of people don't have that, but that's on my mind every single holiday season. It's like, wow, these people are so good. How did I get so lucky?
Yeah. I'm going to be honest here. The Thanksgiving, okay. Dude, I have never been a presents guy, right? And my wife seems to think that the outcome of Christmas depends on the quality and quantity of presents that the kids get.
Oh, yeah.
And that's no kick to her. It, yeah. You know, like, it's not a, not talking shit on her, but we are on two different levels when it comes to Christmas. She wants it, or she thinks that presents are important. I don't think they're important at all. So I am equally to blame for this, because I, you know, honestly, I probably don't put in enough effort to the Christmas side of things. That's kind of her world. She takes care of it. And then mostly I'm just the money guy, like giving some, she, not all of it, but you know, like I transfer some money and do that thing. But I like, here's like, I don't think, my personal opinion is, I don't think she looks at the finances enough, and I look at them too much, and I'm, and so there's a clash there.
Yeah.
And it's always, every single year, she thinks I don't put in enough effort, and I think she's putting in too much. And so it's just this, it's not major, it's little, because eventually what happens, eventually what happens is I give the money, it's taken care of, and we go, right?
Yeah.
And so it just kind of, which is kind of a cool transition into what we're going to be talking about today, is this marriage counseling thing from last week and reviewing it. But it's that time of year where it's just, people seem to be on edge, and they have their own reasons for being on edge. But I just think all of this is overrated, unfortunately. Yeah. That's just my vibe.
Yeah. Yeah. You're talking about the holiday stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. Like,
I totally agree.
The family stuff is very important to me. The family stuff, the meals, making sure we go to the events, like, but all the other stuff, like, I don't know about you, but I didn't grow up in, like, my parents got divorced early. So that meant money was tight, in the stage where Christmas presents were really important to us, but we always got them. Parents made sure we had, you know, some decent gifts, and we always had good clothes on our back and stuff like that. But I saw that it was a pressure point for even my parents back in the day. And I just saw that. I'm just like, these possessions are driving us for stress, and I just feel like it's unnecessary. But
I am 1,000% with you, and feel that way more and more and more and more. I was just talking about this with somebody the other day, and I was saying, like, I think I like Thanksgiving a lot more than I like Christmas. Like, the 100%. Fanfare of Christmas is cool, but Thanksgiving is just so much more pure. Thanksgiving is just, I just want to see you. Let's just get together and have good food. Just happy to see you. Yep. That's all it is. And then Christmas is this big buildup of, oh, what do you want? What do I want? Let's exchange lists. And, oh, we're going to do this gift exchange. And the limit is $30. So we're all just trading $30 amongst each other. And
you know, on shit that gets put into a closet.
Oh, yeah, totally. Know? Totally. Yeah. Or here's gift cards that never get used, or like all the things. It's like, oh, my, it's just such a headache.
Yeah.
And I think that more is not more when it comes to presents. Like,
oh no.
A few meaningful presents would be better than just like having a shit ton of presents. You know, I don't know. Yeah. I like Thanksgiving better than Christmas nowadays. It's neat to see the kids' excitement. You know, the elves are annoying to me. I get it, but also, like, fuck whoever came up with the elves. Do you guys do that? Yeah. Do you do the elves at your house?
Have to.
Dude, it's stupid. Like, it's 24 days of novel ideas. Like, give me a break.
Yeah.
You know, it's like they're supposed to move every night, but like the kids want the elves to do something crazy. And if your elves don't do something crazy, then it's disappointing. And also it's like the more destructive the elves are, the better, you know? Yeah. The bigger the mess they make and all that. And it's like, it's almost like kids' social media that, like, if 50 kids get together, they're all going to hear, like, whichever one kid's parents did something crazy that night, then all the other 49 kids are going to be like, oh, mine didn't do anything. And so it's like, you can't have the elves do something fucking crazy every single night for 24 nights in a row.
And then
come up with 24 novel ideas the next year and 24 novel ideas the year after that for however many years you get stuck doing this.
Yeah. I think there should be a t-shirt for dads that say fuck the elf. And it's know what I should do? Here's a good way. This idea just popped into my head. Let me know what you think. I do something with the elves that's so destructive. I do it.
Yeah.
Like take a knife to a couch cushion.
Yeah.
Like light something on fire. And then the kids are all crazy about it, but I get irate, angry at what the elves did. And guys, this is unacceptable. These elves took the stuffing out of our couch cushions. What would happen if you did that? And then I can explain what would happen. And so then I kick the elves out of the house for being naughty. And then I don't have to deal with it. Is that going too far?
I don't think, no, not at all. Nope. I think that's totally fine. I think flip one of the cushions over to the side that you don't care about, rip that out, destroy it. So you can just stuff it all back in and flip it over and no one will be the wiser. Or you could just have the elves like lop off the heads of like multiple of the stuffed animals of your kids. Oh my God, Josie, Jersey, what did you do? Just have the kids just crying and it's so traumatic. Like, oh my God, ours went bad. Ours turned bad. Yeah. We had to banish them from the house. I don't know what.
Why? What happened? First degree murder on a stuffy.
Yeah. Oh man, should have seen it. It was gory. It was a mess. There's fluff everywhere.
Oh yeah. Well, I'm glad that we can relate to each other on the Christmas time frame. Yeah. I don't know what it is. I'm just so frugal because I've seen. I'm more like in not in all areas because I'm just like, hey, let's go out to Pizza Ranch. Or let's go do some of these. I'm okay with doing some fun things. But at the same time, like when it comes to just massive amounts, because I look in my youngest son's room and it's just stacks of shit he doesn't play with anymore. I'm like, why are we going to add to that? He's like, I want a Lego set. Just like all these other Lego sets you got, build them one time and then never play with them again.
Come on.
It's not like when we were kids, we had Legos and it was a box of Legos and we had to build our own.
Yeah,
stuff
that's right.
With it.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, another square house. Cool.
Yeah, that's right. Oh, I made a two-story house this time. That's freaking nuts.
Check out this airplane. It's like one little piece and one long piece for the wings, and that's it.
Right. Yeah. 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 It's weird. Like my kids are the kids that I went to school with that I was like, wow, you have so much. So I was like, my parents were together, but we didn't have very much money. And, you know, for Christmas, I'd come downstairs on Christmas morning and each of my brothers and I would have like a small pile and it would be like a toy and a few articles of clothing, basically, which is totally fine. You know, totally fine. We didn't get stacks and stacks and stacks. Like we didn't have excess tons of shit all the time. And ours were pretty practical. It was a toy that you'd play with and then clothes.
Yep.
You know, shopping for clothes during the year.
Yeah, that's what I want. And the other person I want to say fuck you to, with all due respect, is Santa Claus. Okay.
Yeah.
That guy, come on. As a kid, oh, awesome. The kids love it. And I saw this from a mom this was several years ago. And they're like, the best presents need to come from mom and dad. The junk presents that your kids are kind of underwhelmed with need to come from Santa because you need to let them know that if you're going to give them a good gift, mom and dad worked hard to pay for that to get that gift for you.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Now the logic behind that I really get behind is that, it feels really unfair that Santa brings the rich kids nice toys and Santa brings the poor kids not as nice
stuff. There you go.
So the poor kids are
there you go.
All the kids go to school. What'd you get? And all the rich kids are like, whoa, I got this and this and this and this from Santa. And the poor kids are like, whoa, Santa does not like me. Like I'm not even good enough to Santa.
Yeah, exactly. for some reason, all my Santa Claus toys had Dollar General labels on them.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Yeah, they didn't even take the garage sale stickers off of my toys.
Exactly. Oh, Jesus.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Well, we better get into it because I got a hard stop in 30 minutes. So,
okay. Yeah, you bet. Yeah. So, okay. So, at our previous podcast, we met with Leanne Peterson. She's a therapist in Houston, does a lot of couples work and coaching. I don't know if I'd say she specializes in working with men, but she certainly has a lot of experience working with men. Maybe she'd say she specializes. I just don't want to speak for her. And we grilled her with questions and, heard what she had to say. I think we'll talk about our kind of our biggest takeaways or some of the questions we asked her and some of her responses to those, you know, but we were asking her things like, hey, how do you get on the same page, with your spouse around electronics and big decisions? What happens when why do you lose the spark with your partner? Why is it so hard to be on the same page? And I appreciated her answers. I think I'm really going to be curious to hear your takeaways because it seemed like maybe you and I might have heard things a little bit differently. So I'm going to be interested to hear. So I'll go through. I took some notes during the podcast and I'm going to highlight some of the main takeaways that I had, and I'll be interested to hear what you thought of them.
Yep.
So one thing that she said that I really liked is she said that our relationships are our biggest paths to growth. And I thought that was cool because it kind of reinforced to me, like, this isn't sunshine and rainbows. Things do get harder as you go through the cycles of life and you have kids and you add all of this, complexity to your life. And I wanted to pair that with another thing that she said. Okay, so maybe the best, like the biggest insight that I felt like she gave, we were talking about how couples kind of drift and you kind of lose the spark and you end up not disliking each other, but you know, that can happen too. And she explained that when you're dating, your relationship is an escape.
Yeah.
And when you're married, it's just your life and it's not an escape anymore, that there's no novelty. And we were like, what the hell do you do about that? And she said that you really, really need to put the parents back in the center. Like the parents' relationship needs to be the center, and that the parents need to do some fun things. And she was like, you know, we're like, oh yeah, date night. If you do date night once a week or every other week or once a month or who knows, and you go out to dinner and whatever. And she's like, yeah, that just becomes the norm. That's not even that exciting anymore. Like you need to do novel, fun experiences that you both might be interested again. Like basically sliding back into the dating relationship that's fun.
Right.
What did you think about that?
Man, I'm in that right now, man. Mm-hmm. I'll be honest. I'm in it. I'm in that. My wife and I put our kids first. I know it's probably, taking its toll on our marriage in a way where the only commonality that we have is our kids anymore. You know what I mean? Like, there's no, we haven't done date nights anymore. And so I'm going to just be completely honest here. Yeah. Since me and my wife stopped drinking, we have not gone on the date nights like we used to.
Yeah.
Like, hey, let's go get a drink. We used alcohol as an escape or an excuse to go do those things.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so the other day, you know, there's been times since then where I've asked my wife, hey, you want to go do something? Like, you want to go out and grab some apps or something? She's like, well, let's just bring the kids with us. And I'm just like, well, I was hoping to get some us time. Or in the past, you know, it's just like, nah, I don't want to. Right. And then it's just like, because we quit drinking, it's not fun anymore. There's no fun by going to a bar or going to get appetizers at a restaurant like we used to do. So I don't believe that. I believe that we can still go out and have fun without it. But that's where we're at right now. I mean, we have kids events every single night. For example, this week was kids events Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. What last night was a wrestling tournament that a wrestling match that we had to go to where the kids got out on the mat and then they wave at the crowd. So it's like a youth wrestler recognition night. Tonight is a wrestling tournament. Tomorrow there's nothing, but Wednesday there's a wrestling tournament. And so it's just full blown kids activities and we put a lot of energy into the kids stuff.
Yeah.
I know that I personally want to connect more with my wife, but it's just not happening. And so I think, have you ever hit a point, not just necessarily in a marriage, but in any relationship where you ask and ask and ask or try and try and try for something and then it gets shot down or people, they blow you off or they say I'm busy so many times you quit asking?
Yeah, absolutely.
You know what I mean? Absolutely. And so I feel like we're both in kind of that stage right now.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. That's a very long way of answering that question.
No, that's perfect. Yeah, absolutely. You just stated what is. I also think I would guess that the average guy listening to this that has multiple kids or kids around our kids' ages, we'll call it, anybody's got kids from actually young up to early teens until they can start driving themselves. I would guess a lot of guys would really connect with what you just said. I think that's really true. I think it's so hard to find the time. I think if you're in a job that's you're not pumped about, then that's kind of draining to you. And then your family is awesome. Your kids are awesome. And that's wonderful. And them being in things, that's also wonderful. But let's not pretend like that doesn't all take a toll. My kids are in a lot and usually are in a lot. And right now, my son doesn't happen to be he was going to do wrestling and he started. And he's like, I don't really like this. So he stopped. So he's not in anything right now. And that's really weird. He's usually, we're usually running things for him. And my wife and I have talked about it recently. Whoa, this is really weird. It's kind of nice to not feel like we're chasing our tails constantly. It's just my daughter's thing. She's in competitive dance she's in dance and cheerleading. And so that's multiple nights a week. So it used to be all of her stuff and then all of my son's stuff too. And now it's just all of her stuff. I'm like, whoa, this is weird. We're having a movie night in the middle of the week. Mm-hmm. That's crazy. We never got to do that. So I think the busyness of our lives is good in some ways. And it's also, it's not all it's cracked up to be.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm okay with the biz. Me personally, I'm okay with the weekday busyness, cause that's when practices are at and I get that. Right. So my daughter, she is, now moved up to a different level in wrestling practices. So she got invited, she's a seventh grader, but she got invited to go to a couple of the varsity practices, which means that, in the middle of the day, I have to pick her up because she can't drive from middle school to drive her to the high school, in this cold weather and get her to these practices and things. And so, me and my wife, we share that responsibility, but it's just another thing throughout the day that is, that's there. And then I think the other thing is I kind of identify it, but I'm not sure. I don't know. I haven't asked her. Mm-hmm. My wife has said to me before, we're together all day long because we both work from home. I have an office upstairs that, I'm in here recording.
Yeah.
But then I go downstairs and we're together all day. And she's like, we're together all day. Yeah. But I disconnect that because we're together, but we're not doing anything important with each other. Right. She's working and I'm working. That doesn't mean we're together. We're just in the same space. So,
right.
I don't know.
Yeah. What did she mean? Like, so when you say we're together all day, I'm thinking that there's not enough time to miss each other, and you can have, mm-hmm. you can have too much of a good thing. I'll never forget this important lesson. One of my lifelong best friends from like kindergarten or something. Yeah. I'd say I've known him for so long. It's hard to even remember when I met him. I think it was kindergarten. We spent every waking second together in high school. And, yep. you know, I stayed at his house all the time. Every weekend we were together all the time. Every day after school, we were in all the same activities, played football and ran track together, lifted weights together, everything. We were always together, went on road trips together. We were always together. And I think we spent too much time together, and we would kind of end up bickering and get into like these tiny little spats where we're, mm-hmm. where we were just like at each other's throats. But we didn't even separate. We just stayed together all yeah. the time. And I think that ended up like there was a period of time where we ended up like he kind of pulled away for like a year, like a year of my, of our lives. He basically didn't talk to me at all. And I don't know exactly what he did with himself in that time. And I think he needed some time to like explore who he was. But I reflect on that. I'm 42 years old now. And that was when I was, you know, in high school and early undergrad. And I think, holy shit, I think I poisoned that relationship by being together too much.
Yeah.
I think that, I yeah. think that takes the excitement out of being with someone.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel that. I've probably been in a couple of those friendships before where it's like mm-hmm. every weekend we hang out and every weekend or every, you know, we did the same thing all the time, that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. So I feel that. And I can completely understand where my wife is coming from on some of those things. I'm just like, I don't know, what do they call that? The 7-year itch. There's mm-hmm. a term for yeah. where these couples were at. It's not yeah. necessarily 7 years because at 7 years we were in the midst of like young children and doing that. Now we're out of that stage and it's almost like we came out of the baby making stage, two completely different people. And now we have to find a way to get back to each other. And I probably need to turn that up more, but sometimes here's where I get frustrated. It's just like, or this is where I'm sure there's a struggle for a lot of guys is that doesn't mean wins and losses. Do you right. know what I mean? In order to make this person happy, it comes down to a win or taking a loss. And yeah. I think it has more to do with connecting with a different version of the person you married.
Yeah.
If yeah. that like makes that. Sense.
I like that
so
a lot.
I don't know.
Leanne said, look at the pain points to come back together mm-hmm. to like,
yeah.
you know, that you would say to your wife, like, what are your struggles and what's stressing you out the most? And, what can I do to be supportive around those things? And probably also like, what do you think you could be doing differently? And what are you doing that's keeping these problems going? And then if she would also ask you the same question, like what would be really meaningful to you? Like I've always thought it would be really cool. Maybe I'll do this with my wife at some point, but I always thought it'd be really cool if my wife and I each made a list of like, hey, here's everything that I want. Here's how I want to be treated. Here's the things that I want us to do together. Here's my idealized version of everything. Here's how I hoped things would go and how I want life to be. And I want to make that list and I want her to make that list. And then I want us to look at each other's lists and say, I'm going to do as much of this for you as I can.
Yeah.
And so that I'm like really filling her bucket, so to speak, and she's really filling my bucket, so to speak. And because I think that the dating phase is all fun and novel, but man, once you get into the grind of life, everybody just settles into their ruts. And I think it takes emotional labor to get out of it. You know, yeah, like you've heard of the law of inertia. So objects that in motion tend to stay in motion. Objects at rest tend to stay at rest unless acted upon by an outside force. Dude, I think we just get into the inertia of our lives. And I think it takes some real insight to want to get out of it. And I think part of, I mean, I don't want to guess about your relationship. I think it can happen pretty often that one person's like, geez, I just can't keep doing it like this. I don't like this. But the other person's like still pretty firmly in their rut.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel that. I feel it. But that's the thing. It's like the thing about any relationship, it takes two sides. Mm-hmm. And both parties need to want it. Mm-hmm. And so I don't know. I am that guy who just like, or that person who just, I kind of live by the keep doing the wrong or keep doing the right things. Just keep going and going and going. And it may take a while for someone else to notice that you are putting in a lot of energy into a relationship or a household. And maybe they are in their own rut that they're maybe trying or not trying to get out of. I don't know. But it just like the thing about it is if you give up, then you give up and then that's over. And that's not just with a relationship. That's with business. That's with fitness. That's with health. That's with anything in life. But once you give up, it's over, dude.
Yeah. That's when it dies. So, yep.
Yeah, exactly. Yep. And so if you truly care about the whether it's the thing or the person, you got to keep trying. You have to.
I'm with you, Dan. I think that's, to me, that's one of the most powerful things that you've said. And this harkens back to a previous conversation that we've had in a different podcast where I've felt like, well, shit, when I don't have the answers and it doesn't seem like anything that I'm doing is working and life is hard, And I don't, I'm not going to give up. I'm not going to give up on my family. I'm not going to give up on my wife. I'm not going to give up. I've had the thought of like, all right, well, let's see what you're made of. Let's see what you're made of. Like you knew hypothetically that marriage was going to be hard. And this is what hard feels like. You knew that parenting was going to be hard. And this is what hard feels like. Like, don't give up so that in a year or two or three or four or five, when life takes its boot off your neck, you can sit up and reengage, you know? And I think about that I don't want to burn a bridge with my wife. I want to like keep fertile ground for if things can get better. And I'm not saying things are bad with my wife and I, but, I think we're in a similar spot of like, we're just in the middle. Mm-hmm. But I like your mentality of don't get up, don't give up. I think that's smart.
Yeah. What other things kind of got your attention about what she had to say?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's another thing that she said about this same thing was she basically said, ask your partner where they're struggling and then think about how you can support them in that. I have a feeling that your response to that, would be that she basically doesn't want support or doesn't want to make changes, that it's all about changes. But, you know, I wonder if there'd be things that we can identify for our wives and start to do that could at least take the edge off, that would make them be a happier version of themselves.
Yeah, this is where it gets real tricky. Okay. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. 'Cause I think I've heard a lot of women on social media or in social gatherings, like, oh, you want to make me happy? Why don't you do the laundry or the dishes? Okay, well, I've done those things,
right?
And a lot of men do those things, and that's not the answer. Okay, there's a root cause somewhere that's causing it, and me doing the laundry and me doing the dishes is something that I do all the time every week. It's something different, right? It's not that.
Yeah,
okay. You want to get me hot and bothered? Do the laundry, do the dishes. No. Nope.
Right.
That doesn't work, right? There's something else that's going on. Okay. It's your job, right? Oh, my job is so stressful and I can't take it and all this, like, you know, maybe a woman is saying that, or the kids have been naughty and things like that. There's some things that you just cannot control. And no matter what you do, you cannot. It's on them to have to do that. I am here to help in any way, shape, or form that I can, but I can't do your job for you.
Yeah.
right? If you're unhappy with your job, start looking for another job. That's the only advice I can give you.
Yeah, right. But I think though, I agree with everything you just said. My next thought though is like, what if she knows all that? And maybe the answer then isn't what advice you can do or what you can do for her. Maybe it's like, hey, like, I recognize this is a stressor for you. I'm just going to care about you until you figure it out for yourself. I'm just going to make space for your struggles and for your frustration.
That's great.
Your feeling stuckness.
Yeah, I mean, that's great if that other person wants to put an effort into changing or working on whatever is causing them that problem. But if they're not, then, you know,
yeah,
you're in a tough spot. The person who is looking to change themselves, and because it's not just one person changing something that's going to make another person happen. If
right,
there's person A and person B, and person B is frustrated, person A can completely change who they are. And yeah, if person B doesn't try to change who they are, nothing changes. It's just one person putting in a lot of energy into something, and there's no change. There's no change because it takes two to tango here. And so, I think that's where, and I'm not talking about just marriages. I'm talking about business relationships. I'm talking businesses. I'm talking father, son, you know, father, daughter, father, you know, whatever it is.
Yeah.
Once there's an equation involved. Now, if I'm a drug addict, I gotta be the one to make the changes, right? That's a me thing. But if in any relationship, there's gotta be a conversation between two people. And if one of those people isn't really interested in having that conversation, well, then it gets difficult.
I agree with everything you just said. Where my mind goes with that is there are some relationships, I prioritize different relationships differently. And there are some relationships that I am so committed to that I will not walk away unless there's something drastic and dramatic. And there's other relationships that I would. So there are some, like if it's like a business relationship, if you and I are in business together and it all started out fine and dandy, and then it just started getting more and more and more friction between us and trying to figure it out and trying to make it work, and it just doesn't, like I'm not married to you, at some point you might have to call it and be like, well, I think we're gonna have to go our separate ways, best of luck to you, you know. But unless there's something drastic, like I'm never gonna walk away from my wife, it's even a hard sentence to say, unless there's something drastic, I'm never going to walk away from my kids. It makes me think, like, right, I can't even think of a scenario in which I would walk away from one of my kids, you know. Yeah. It'd have to be something fucking horrible. I just can't even imagine what that would be. But I think my point there is that I'm taking such a long view of, like, my relationship with my wife and my relationship with my kids, that I'm like, hey, even if there's a rough patch of 10 years, I'm holding out hope that when things lighten up, that things could change.
Yeah.
So there's some relationships in which I'm just not going to give up, and that I might have to go through a 10-year drought or a very long period of things being hard.
Yeah.
Because, and not even pretending like that doesn't suck, it would, but I think leaving would be worse.
Yeah.
And
a lot of it just depends on what the scenario is, right?
Yeah.
You know, if your wife has cheated, if your wife has cheated on you, or if, you know, there was some infidelity, same thing, or like major financial, like my wife was watching this Dateline episode about this mom or this girl. It started off being about this girl, and the girl was getting, text messages, and the text messages were like, you dirty bitch, you know, you're a whore, you stinky, whatever. And
oh, I know
and
the story.
The boyfriend was also getting messages like, you need to dump this bitch and all that stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
And long story short, it's the mom.
Yeah.
Her psycho. Own mom was sending her all this stuff.
Right.
Right. And as a husband, maybe she didn't have any infidelity towards me, but that's a deal breaker for me.
Oh, yeah. Right.
You're absolutely out of your mind.
Yeah, infidelity. Our kids? No.
Yeah. Infidelity. If you're going to cheat on me or have sex with another man, that's a deal breaker. I could never recover from that.
Right. Right.
I have pride for myself too. Right. And so, but anything like, or any like, oh my God, you have $100,000 in credit card debt and I didn't know about it. Good luck. You know, like I don't know how I would deal with that. I don't know how I would deal with that.
I hear you. I hear you. Yeah.
Yeah.
And those could be deal breakers.
Those are the extremes. Those are all of the extremes. Yeah.
I'm with you. I would have a hard time. I just couldn't bring myself to separate from my partner just because we're in a bad rut. You know?
Yes.
Yep. I think when things get really hard, and this isn't like a romantic fix to this, but when things get hard, I think maybe the only thing that we can do is focus on being the best versions of ourselves that we can be, because you still have, like, I still have to live my life. I can't let my life be consumed by like the one thing that's not going well. And by the way, I'm not saying that my marriage is not going well. We're just talking about marriage, generally speaking. There are other things about me too. Mm-hmm. And I think I would be doing myself a disservice if I didn't also focus on the other aspects of myself and focus on personal growth and recognize that, like, another thing that Leanne said was, if you were married to yourself, would you like it? Like, yeah. I think I'm such a nice guy and I'm such a good guy. And I wonder if there was if I was recording myself, video recording myself at all times, I wonder what I would look like. Like, I wonder what the expression on my face is, and I wonder what the tone of my voice sounds like. And I wonder how positive I really am. Because if I'm being super honest with myself, I would bet I'm more critical than I realize. Yeah. I would bet that, you know, like I know that I like scowl when somebody in my family does something I think is dumb, or like they make a mess or they wreck something, or, you know, they do something that is not necessarily bad, but they know I don't want them to do that. Like, it's kind of a well-known thing. Like, if somebody in my family is doing something wrong, they will like glance to see if I'm watching. And they always think I'm watching and judging them, which I guess I probably have to be honest that I think I am, you know?
Yeah. I've gotten that before too, man. And I don't know what, like, I just feel like I'm walking on eggshells all the time. And I feel like that sometimes too. Right. And I don't know.
You feel like you're being watched, or you feel like you're the watcher?
Well, both.
Okay.
Both. Right. Like, and really what it comes down to is everybody is looking to be right, and everybody is looking to come up with excuses of why they're right, or or why someone else did something wrong. And they're never saying, I overreacted, or I should have done this differently. I apologize. Everybody is looking to go, boom, you're like you. And no one ever is going me. Like, I'm sorry, I'm the problem. I should have never done that, right? And one thing I have really been trying to do recently is just let a lot of shit slide. Mm-hmm. And I don't want to take that by giving up, but what I am trying to do is, if a certain thing is worth the energy that I'm going to put into it, whether it's an argument or a disciplining the kids or things like that, and I'm just like, and sometimes I think what happens is there are certain groups of people out there that like conflict and they like to fight. And if you're fighting for them, then that means you're engaged, while other people are just like, man, I do not. It's like, I don't know why, but the what show, Yellowstone, where the Beth and what's his name, Rip? Are. Yeah. Like, she starts talking to him, he's like, I do not have the energy for you today. You know, like that kind of shit. You know, you know what I mean? Yeah. And so, I don't know, man. It's just a ball that never stops bouncing, and you got to try to catch it, and it never, you can never catch. It's like that chicken. I don't know.
Oh yeah. Yeah. You know, going back to kind of my mentality about it all, I really think, and maybe I'm naive for this, and feel free to tell me if you think I am, but like, I think that I want to stick around with the best attitude that I can forever, such that when things do lighten up, I'll be ready to enjoy that. You know, it's almost like this door behind me. Let's say if the door behind me, the other side of that door is happiness. Like I want to sit there and stare at that door, or at least keep my eye on that door while I'm doing other things in my life, such that if that door ever does open, I will notice it and I'll be ready to go through it. But you know, I have to be in this room to know if that door's open. So it means like I have to stay in the relationship. I have to be committed to the long term to be like, hey, I know things are rough right now. I don't assume that things will always be this rough.
Yeah.
And you know what? Like maybe someday that door will open again. And when it does, I'm not going to come through and like bitch you out. I'm going to come through and be excited to reconnect with you. Like that's kind of how I think about it. Because first of all, again, I'm not exactly specifically talking about my relationship with my wife, because we're really pretty good. But I do think that if you can look at your wife or your partner, your wife's going to do this too. If you can look at your partner and think they really are a good person, I like this person, I love this person, I care about this person. This isn't the oh wow, we're in 60 grand of credit card debt that you didn't tell me about, or oh, you cheated on me. If your partner's a quality person, just there's just a lot of distance. I just think they're worth sticking around for. I think they're worth hanging in there for. And I also agree. Think to your point, and I think this is, I would guess that so many listeners could connect with the idea of like, geez, it's so hard when just one person like wants to be making the changes and making things better. Man, I'm a proponent of couples counseling. Like I've worked with so many clients that I've been like, hey, we're working on one sided stuff here. You can do everything you can do, but it really sounds like you need some buy in from your partner. And that's a conversation that lots of my clients have had to go have with their partners.
Yeah.
And they can say like, hey, if you're willing to do this, like I just want to have a stronger relationship with you. If you're willing to go to couples counseling with me, we can go to any counselor you want and won't be like a counselor that's biased towards me. I promise I'll stay focused on us and making things better. I promise I'll be open to anything that pertains to me that I could possibly do better. I promise I will never throw you under the bus. Like those are all the fears that, you know, if your partner came to you and was like, hey, I think we need to go to couples counseling. Like what would your initial fears be?
Yeah. Yeah. I get that, man. I get that. And so this is, I like where this ended because it's like dot, dot, dot. Okay. Because, I have a lot more questions about what she talked about, especially from what do you think a male therapist would say that's different than what she had to say. And we're going to talk all about that next week. Is that a good idea?
If we
continue this conversation. So huge shout out to everybody who's listening. Thank you very much for taking time out of your day to listen to the Man Therapy podcast. Go to iTunes, Spotify, wherever you download this podcast, leave us a 5-star review and share this with your friends. So Kyle, have a good weekend, my friend.
Thanks, bud.
Spring break isn't what it used to be. It's better. This spring, stay 3 nights and get a $50 Best Western gift card. Life's a trip. Make the most of it at Best Western. Visit bestwestern.com for complete terms and conditions.
USAA knows dynamic duos can save the day, like superheroes and sidekicks, or auto and home insurance. With USAA, you can bundle your auto and home and save up to 10%. Tap the banner to learn more and get a quote at usaa.com/bundle. Restrictions apply.
This episode is brought to you by Peloton. Break through the busiest time of year with the brand new Peloton Cross Training Tread Plus. Powered by Peloton IQ. With real-time guidance and endless ways to move, you can personalize your workouts and train with confidence.
helping you reach your goals in less time. Let yourself run, lift, sculpt, push, and go. Explore the new Peloton Cross Training Tread Plus at onepeloton.com.
President's Day savings are happening now at the Home Depot with up to 40% off select appliances. Looking to upgrade your fridge? Check out LG's newest model, serving up ice in all kinds of styles. Cube, crushed, craft ice, and now new mini craft ice straight from the dispenser. From cold brew to fizzy favorites, these refrigerators will have you entertaining like a pro. Shop President's Day savings and get up to 40% off, plus free delivery on select appliances like LG at the Home Depot. Free delivery on appliance purchases of $1,498 or more. Offer valid February 5th through the 25th, U.S. only. See store online for details.
You're listening to the Sportsman's Empire Podcast Network, and this episode is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. For all of your battery needs, visit your local Interstate Batteries retail store. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable.